Turn with me to our Bible reading in Numbers chapter 16. And we're going to look tonight, just for a little moment, on the words of verse 47 and verse 48. Aaron took as Moses commanded and ran into the midst of the congregation. And behold, the plague was begun among the people. And he put on incense and made an atonement for the people. And he stood between the dead and the living. And the plague was stayed. Numbers chapter 16 is a chapter all about rebellion. The rebellion of Korah and Dathan and Abiram and the princes of Israel, some 250 of them. They rebelled against Moses and against the authority of Moses in the land. They not only rebelled against him and questioned him, but they wanted to usurp his position, because that's what rebellion is. Remember how Satan rebelled against God in heaven. And he not only rebelled against him, he wanted to take his position. He thought he could do it better. And so divine judgment ensued because of the rebellion that had broken out in the camp. And we read in the opening part of this chapter how the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up those traitors. And a fire came out of God. From God and just devoured those rebels. What a fearful thing it is to fall into the hand of an angry God. This was rebellion not just against Moses but against God's authority. One would have thought that Israel had learned the lesson, but we never learn the lesson. We always have to learn it the hard way if we're going to learn it at all. And the very next morning, with the remembrance of what had happened the previous day in their minds, the cries and the shrieks of the doomed still in their focus, the people gathered again, not to lament their sin, not to confess their rebellion, but to rebel even further. Verse 41, we read, on the morrow, all the congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron, saying, ye have killed the people of the Lord. They blamed their two leaders for the demise of the rebels the day before. And they arrayed themselves against the Lord's anointed. And even as they came against Aaron and Moses, something wonderful happened. The Shekinah glory appeared over the tabernacle. The visible manifestation of God's divine presence. God's anger had been aroused. He came. You know what? Everything changes when God comes, doesn't it? And everything will change in Ulster when God comes. The rebellion will go on. And men will continue to rebel and dare to defy Almighty God until God comes. And that's what revival is, brethren and sisters. It's God coming. But when God comes, it is with awesome power and with dire consequences. When God comes, he came to defend his servants. Moses and Aaron, they realized immediately what was happening because the sin of Israel had caused the Lord's anger to be aroused, and they immediately implored the mercy of a just God. But the plague was already in the camp. Judgment had already broken out. And already the angel of death was at work, and hundreds fell under the very eyes of Moses and Aaron. And here they were. They were the leaders. They were God's interceders. And all round about them, people were dying. And is that not a picture of what's happening today? We thank God we still have gospel preachers in this land. But all round about us, sinners are dying under the wrath and under the judgment of Almighty God. Every week, men and women are being taken out into a lost eternity. An action had to be taken. And Moses gave Aaron the instructions. Verse 46, take a censer and put fire therein from off the altar and put on incense and go quickly into the congregation and make an atonement for them, for there is wrath gone out from the Lord. The plague has begun. It's interesting here in Numbers chapter 16, we discover that Aaron is 100 years of age. 100 years of age. The Levites had to retire at 50. They had to retire from active service in the tabernacle at 50. But now Aaron is double the age. And as the great high priest, he's labouring. And on one side of him are the corpses of thousands already smitten and dead. And on the other side are the thousands of Israel that will depend on his work that day. The preacher stands between the living and the dead. If God's wrath is to be appeased, the plague to be stayed, Aaron must stand. He must stand between the dead and the living. We see something greater here than the high priest standing between the dead and the living. We see a foreshadowing of the great high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ, who ministers in the heavenly sanctuary. And the whole scene takes us to heaven's glory, takes us to that tabernacle not made with hands, eternal in the heaven, where our great high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ, he ministers to save the true Israel of God. The true Israel of God in the Bible are God's elect. And he ministers to save them from the fires, the plague of sin that had already started in the camp of Israel. And this evening I'd like to stop with you and look at Aaron. Look at the parallels between the work of Aaron and the work of Christ, because it's the work of Christ alone that stands between you and a lost eternity. It's the work of Christ alone that can save sinners in Anna alone. It's the work of Christ alone that can bring a lost ones to glory. As we look at Aaron and think of Christ, first of all, let's consider the love that Aaron had for his people. He had been the object of their scorn, their ridicule, their rebellion. And it's worth remembering in this incident that both Aaron and Moses were the aggrieved party. The people blamed them for their own sin. It's always the way. People always want a scapegoat. They want somebody to blame for their own sin and the consequences of their own sin. And what had happened in the camp of Israel was due to the sin of the sons of Kohath and all the rebellion that ensued of them. And the 250 of them that had died the day before. And they wanted to strip Aaron of his office. But that didn't prevent Aaron going into the midst between the living and the dead. And here's a lovely picture of Christ again. His creation rebelled against him. They rebelled. They slighted him. They offended him. When he came unto his own, the Bible says his own received him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But he loved his own so much that he stood there between the living and the dead. His work alone could save them. When Aaron went into the midst of the multitude, it was their salvation he sought, and he didn't think of his safety. And even as we thought this morning of Joseph, brethren and sisters, there's a great lesson for us all. We're sent into this world. We're sent into this world with this great commission. And it is our great commission to bring the salvation of God to hearts and to lives. It is not our own safety that is paramount. It is the saving of the lost that is paramount. The Lord Jesus, he not only faced the threat of death at 33 years of age, right throughout his life he faced the threat of death. But he loved the church. He loved the church. The invisible body of Christ, he loved it. He loves it. And he gave himself for it. When we look at Aaron, we see this high priest going in amongst the people. He's maligned, he is misrepresented. But he loved those people for all of that. And he was there for the saving of their souls. Verse 47 makes mention that he ran. He ran into the midst of the congregation. Because every second that he delayed, people were dying. And he ran. There's no mean achievement for a man to run. Remember the meetings with Dr. Johnson all those years ago when he showed us the garments of the high priest Aaron with all of the garments. He was running into the midst of the people. But what quickened his pace? It was the love in his heart. And it was so with the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember that final night before he went to die on the cross of Calvary. He observed the Passover with his disciples. And he said, with desire have I desired to eat this Passover. With desire have I desired to eat this Passover. It was his desire that he would be the Paschal Lamb. From all eternity, he was the bleeding lamb. What love he had for us. Love that quickened him. Love that put him in that place of jeopardy. Love that led him as a sacrifice for the many unto death. Look secondly at the propitiation that Aaron made for the people, and we'll see Christ again. Wrath had gone out from God, and on account of the wrath that had gone out from God, people were dying all round about Aaron that day. And it's God's law that his wrath shall never stay unless propitiation be offered. God will not excuse people for breaking his law. He cannot. He is our, we learned just a minute or two ago, he is our creator, he is our God, he is our redeemer. And he will hold all mankind responsible for breaking his law. God's law one day will be vindicated. So his wrath has to be turned away, because the Bible says the soul that sinneth, it shall die. So what did Aaron do? Well, in that little container, the pitcher that he had, incense was put into it. And this was the means of propitiating the wrath of God, turning away the wrath of God. And it was accepted as a type of that which our great high priest would offer on the Day of Atonement, his own atoning blood, because the bleeding lamb would appear before the throne, and it's the blood of the bleeding lamb that would turn away the wrath of God. Aaron had all that was necessary to turn away God's wrath in his hand. He took the censer, he filled it with the ordained incense. This was the special perfume. Nobody else was allowed to use this perfume in all of the nation of Israel. This was set aside for divine purposes. And he lit it with the sacred flame from off the altar. And then he presented those sweet smelling odors as a sacrifice that was acceptable unto God. Death had its stench. In the camp of Israel that day, death brings with it its own stench. But here was God's answer to the stench of death. And this was how he would be propitiated. I'm glad that a greater than Aaron stands before us today and before Almighty God. And what did the Lord Jesus Christ offer the Father on your behalf and my behalf? We know that we're lawbreakers. There's not one of us this evening could say we have kept all of God's law. Indeed, we know it in heart. We have broken every one of God's laws. Inwardly and outwardly, we are indicted as lawbreakers before the throne of the Lord. We're lawbreakers. So the Lord Jesus Christ had to come and keep the law. Perfectly. He kept the law. We're not only lawbreakers, but we're deserving of the judgment of God upon us for the breaking of the law, because the soul that sinneth, it'll die. And so the Lord Jesus is the great high priest. He came and he said, I'll keep the law for them, and I'll take the penalty of the law on their behalf. He came and died in a room and in their stead. Aaron put on that sacred perfume, that incense, and burnt it in the little pitcher, and that sacred smell went all over the camp of Israel. But it was the blood of Christ the blood of the bleeding lamb that would turn away the wrath of God. He was the only one ordained of God to offer this propitiation. No one else could do it. Only the high priest could do it. 250 others had to die because they thought they could do it. But there was one and one alone who could do it, and that was the high priest. And the Lord Jesus Christ is our great high priest. He's ordained from all of God's eternity. He alone, brethren and sisters, can do the helpless sinner good. He alone can do it. It's not self-effort. Not, as it were, pulling your socks up, making your life better. It's none of those things. It's Christ, and it's Christ alone. It's not programs. It's not going into counseling sessions. It's Christ alone. And if Christ will not do it, you'll not do it, or I'll not do it. It's faith in Christ alone. He is the only priest you'll ever need. The only priest you'll ever need is the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's made redundant all the priesthoods of men. It is Christ and Christ alone. When the work of the high priest was needed, Aaron was there. He was willing, he was ready. He was just there at the call of Moses, the great lawgiver. And of course, Aaron answers the law. Because grace always answers all the demands of the law. The people were ready to perish, but Aaron was ready, and through his work was ready to save the people and to mitigate all of the wrath of God. And the same truth applies in the gospel. All of us are but a step from a lost eternity. But the Lord Jesus Christ is willing, ready to save all that will come unto God by him. Wrath has been turned away. And it's only Christ and his work can do it. I want you to consider, thirdly, the intercessor that Aaron, like Christ, was for his people. Because he stood between the living and the dead, and the plague was stayed. The plague was raging in the camp. It was spreading. You can imagine, we know something about how contagious plagues are from recent days. But this was with deadly consequences. There's nothing could mitigate this plague, this judgment that had gone out. But one man stood there, and one man alone could prevent the plague spreading any further. And it had to do with faithful Aaron. And we look again at the scene and we see Christ. Wrath has gone out from God. The law decreed judgment and punishment upon those who have broken God's holy law. But Jesus came, and Jesus is the great intercessor. He interposed his precious blood. That's what we've been singing about. He interposed his precious blood as the means whereby wrath would be turned away. And I want to say again tonight, in the gospel, there's nothing between the saved and a lost eternity except their good works. There's nothing between the saved and a lost eternity except their church membership, except their tithing, except their paying, except their respectability. What's between you and me and a lost eternity? Just Jesus. Nothing else. And he's enough. When you come to die, he's enough. As you live in pilgrimage, the journey, he's enough. The devil often plagues us all with doubts. That's why we sang that lovely hymn again tonight. He comes and he roars at us. He reminds us of our sin. And we know our sin, and we can add on to what he accuses us of. But Jehovah finds none, because all of the sin question was settled in the Lord Jesus Christ. What a gospel we have. If Christ stands between you and judgment, then you're a place where judgment cannot harm you, because he has borne all the judgment in your room and in your stead. How secure we are. Fourthly, examine with me tonight that the Saviour that Aaron became for his people. What a gracious Saviour was Aaron to the people, and again, how like he was to Christ. It was his own good, It was his own good pleasure that prompted his actions. The people didn't demand it. They didn't look for it. That's what I tried to say this morning. Sinners are not looking for deliverance. God has to send deliverance. It's not until the sinner is quickened he'll even know that he needs deliverance. If you have some sense in your soul tonight that you need deliverance, we can say God is at work in your soul. God is at work in your soul. Oh, there are some tonight and they have no sense of anything. They're dead. They're like those who are dying with the plague and they're oblivious to what is happening round about them. None of us, brethren and sisters, have anything to commend ourselves to the Lord. I can't say I deserve to be saved because I come from what I believe to be a covenant family. I can't say that I deserve it, but I can say that I've received mercies from God that are eternal and mercies that are new every day. Aaron, just like the Saviour, he went in unaided. Moses couldn't help him. The Levites dared not to usurp his position. He alone could do the work. He had to do the work. Remember, the Lord Jesus said, I have trodden the winepress alone. Nobody else could do it. Aaron had to do it. No one else had to do it. And Christ came, and not only did he do the work alone, he finished it. It's all done. All the doing has been done. You don't have to do anything. Jesus did it all. It's all finished. Aaron, like Christ, he was an all-sufficient Saviour. Israel didn't need anybody else. When his work was done, the plague was dead. And the work that Christ has wrought, it will suffice, not just for time, but for all of God's eternity. Christians sometimes think that the gospel has nothing to teach them. Dear brethren and sisters, every week we need to be reminded. Every week we need to be reminded of the work of Christ. It's enough. It's enough for the ungodly, but it's enough for me along the journey. And when I come to die, as die I must, barring the second advent of the Lord Jesus Christ, it'll be enough in those closing moments. I don't need a priest to come and give me absolution. I don't need someone to come and give me Holy Communion. I have Christ and he's enough. Now the all-important question. Tonight, is he enough for you? Is he enough for you? How soon the plague of death will come to your tent, will come to your home, will come to your house. It will come. The plague is at work. The plague is at work amongst mankind. Every day, every moment of every day, souls are being cut off. It is at work. It will come. It will come to Annalong. It will come to the church families in Annalong. And the only thing that will stop that plague having eternal consequences for you is our great high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. And let me reiterate again tonight, he's enough. In closing, notice with me, the division that Aaron like Christ made amongst the people, what a picture is painted here for us. Those that died in the plague were 14,700. Beside those that died about the matter of Korah, 14,000, nearly 15,000 people died in a matter of moments. On one side were all the corpses. The whole population of Annalong and Kilkeel put together. And Aaron divided the camp into two. Those that were dying with the plague, those that were spared by the plague. And the great difference between mankind tonight is simply the same. It is Christ, it's his grace, it's his mercy. You're either numbered with the lost or with the saved, you're either numbered with those that are dying with the plague or those that have been saved from the plague. Christ is the great divider. We talk today in this so-called modern ecumenical age of everyone being united. Christ didn't come to unite, he came to divide. He's the great divider. And he's here in this meeting and he divides the saved from the unsaved, the lost from the redeemed, those that are dying with the plague, those that have been saved from the plague. I implore you again tonight, make sure that you know the grace of God in your heart and in your life. Aaron's work on that day is finished many years ago, but Christ's work is still ongoing. He's still the great interceder. He's still praying for us in heaven. That's a wonderful thought, isn't it? All of the work of redemption was finished on Calvary's cross. Praise the Lord. Jesus could say it is finished. But he's still praying as the great high priest. He's still interceding. And he's coming back to gather all his loved ones home. May you this evening have a saving interest in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you know him not, young or old, alike in the gathering, if you know him not, seek him, call upon him. Don't rest this day until you know him and trust him. And as you love him and trust him, that every day you'll grow to serve him and be